Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'adhotep, to everyone. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and it is always wonderful to be here with you live and in living color. Right now, I am at the train station here in Washington, D.C., and we're going to do our program tonight probably only for 1 hour because I need to get on the road, and I don't want the, you sometimes there's a lot of interference or break-offs when you're traveling and trying to do radio. And so we will probably have our program only for an hour and a half at the most for tonight, but I guarantee you it's going to be another powerful, very interesting program. Tonight we're going to talk again with a brother that we had on last night. Actually, you know, for the past 3 nights, we have been doing special editions. We've been doing special editions to focus on, to a great extent, the issues surrounding what we call Black human rights. Of course, that means the variety of injustices that are inflicted upon us and have been for over 400 years. Certainly, we know that this is not going to stop, even though there's a lot of stuff going on nationwide to, bring greater attention to the various atrocities that have been inflicted upon our people. But for real, we know that we've seen that kind of stuff before. When you take a look at the 60s, certainly there was also a lot going on, and people were protesting and doing all kinds of things. And don't get me wrong, some of it was really, really on point. But the kind of infiltration that we now see in the various groups and organizations that are among us, listen, family, I was in Malcolm X Park today, the Malcolm X Park that's in D.C. It was 80% white folks, many of them walking their dogs. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with walking a dog, obviously, but I remember being a college student and going to ALD, African Liberation Day, at Malcolm X Park. I mean, it was some of the most beautiful stuff you ever wanted to experience. So when I went there today, even though I knew, you know, that the area had been gentrified and there was more other things going on, I had no idea it was to the extent that it is. Black folks, what are we doing? And of course, I mean, we know that we have amongst us many that are doing some wonderful, wonderful things. And you know, big up to all of you. But what the heck is going on over the country? We're losing everything, okay? And it's only getting worse. So, you know, we've got to begin to ask ourselves, what are we doing? And again, with what we're doing, is it really what we need to be doing now? Should we be doing that and then some? Obviously, the answer, I think, is right before our eyes. So anyway, we were at Malcolm X Park, and again, Asante Sana, big ups to Baba Yao. We hung out and just, you know, really did what I was taught to do years ago and will always do whenever possible, and that is to stay connected to that grassroots, ground root level. Even though we do things in many other arenas, there is nothing like one-on-one with our people. And so, you know, all this photo op stuff and, you know, everybody's got to have a forum or a Zoom meeting. And, hey, I love Zoom meetings, by the way. Not meaning I love, but I definitely have an appreciation for them because we have to get some stuff done. And we can do it without having to do the other wear and tear. So I don't have any real problems or issues with that per se. But to avoid or to have a void of not doing other things in the community, in the hood, nope. And I'm raising that also because we're going to get ready to have a part two conversation with our brother that we had on last night. And his name is, I call him Brother Captain. His name is Captain. I call him Brother Captain. But we're going to talk about two things with him. He mentioned something last night that I think was very, very important. And so we're going to focus on 2021 as being a year for optimizing our health, okay? And sorry about this, family. The train thing is coming on and out or something, so bear with me for a moment. So at any rate, okay. So at any rate, we're going to talk to our brother about health because he brought something to my attention last night, and it really touched me because he talked about how addressing his health, meaning really being more, just committed dealing with his health situation, it changed his life. And so this is what we want to share with some of our people tonight and make sure that for 2021, that's going to be a real, real, thing that we're going to be focusing on doing. So we're going to talk more about that very, very soon because we want to really be able to have in our community people that can provide services in our community. Again, we got to step this thing up. And while most of our community do have people who have and deal with herbs or some other kind of service in terms of iridology or reflexology, colonic therapy and things of that nature, it's not really synchronized. It's not really departmentalized or put in a format where, you know, there is just the capability to maybe deal with some of this under one house or one center or whatever. We have to start making that kind of thing happen in our community. So, again, tonight, we're going to talk about that. Again, that's a part of our MWM Blackprint 2020, and that along with some other things. But we're going to also begin to focus on how we can maximize what we have already and bring it to the next levels, okay? And so, again, very shortly, we're going to talk with Brother Captain. He's going to share with you some of, you know, what he had to go through with his health and what he did to get it straightened out. And I think you're going to find this very, very interesting. I know I did, and it was inspiring for me. Some don't have the kind of health issues that this brother had, but you have some kind of health situation. And when he shares with you what he did to really change his diet, to change his mentality and things of that nature, it sounds like it kind of saved his life, right? And so, again, we want to share that information with you. The other thing that I want to share with you is, again, in going out to Malcolm X Park earlier today, it was just so interesting to see two groups that ended up coming out to Malcolm X Park, and these are your rah-rah social justice groups, right? One was like 99% white, off-white, and the other one was maybe 80%. Right, but they were all talking about either Black Lives Matter or something that was about Black folks, right? And I mean, was really set up. They had information. Of course, they had their donation thing. They had their tent. One of them came out. It was about 50 of them, and they were all in black. And it was like, wow. So here's my thoughts, and here's my question: what are we doing? Why are we not more, connected where we're literally doing things with a strategy and it's not just in one location or one community? Why are we isolating ourselves to the degree where we're really not even being as noticed? And I'm not saying we should be real noticed or anything like that, but... And these people are really, that's all you're seeing. And for younger folks, that's not good. That is not good for them to be the only ones that they're really seeing out here. And I know some of you are doing things in our community. In fact, When we talk to Brother Kenton in a few minutes, he's going to tell us about what him and some other brothers did today in the community, and they do it, I think he said, every other week. So we're going to talk about that because we do know that our folks are doing something, doing a lot in our communities, but still, is it enough? Do we need to do better? I dare say yes. But before we bring on Brother Captain, we want to ask you if any of you have anything you'd like to share with us. I do see one person in queue that I'm going to bring in a minute. If you have some information you want to share, an event, or something else that you feel would be of interest, we're going to give you all a few minutes to do that. So in the meantime, we're going to go to caller at 6057. And 6057, your mic is open, and I want to welcome you to the segment of New Day.
Thanks for having me. Revolutionary greetings, Sister Empress Chi. How are you tonight?
How are you? Wonderful. Good to always
hear
your
voice. I'm okay. It's been a rough couple of weeks, but I'm surviving, you know, as best as I can, and I tuned into this program to share some information,
sure.
And when you participated on the Missing Pages in History program, you had mentioned that there's a sister running for U.S. president.
Yes.
And I want to learn more about that.
Okay.
And I also wanted to share some information about some work that the All African People's Revolutionary Party is doing.
Okay.
By
all means.
Yeah, sure. Let's see. We're in the process. We're launching a campaign in
mm-hmm.
order to organize our people around, the commemoration of Indigenous Peoples Day, which
okay.
takes place October 12th, 2020.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And we want to get our people a greater political awareness and understanding of the plight
mm-hmm.
that Indigenous people around the world are suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of those Indigenous people include us, by the way. But
absolutely.
In addition to that, you have the Indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere, the so-called American Indian,
mm-hmm.
the Palestinians,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and numerous people around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we want to elevate our movement to tear not only the Columbian statues down, but the
mm-hmm.
Confederate,
mm-hmm.
Zionist, and apartheid statues as well.
Right.
And even
mm-hmm.
more than that, we need permanent political organization. And I heard the observation you made about the two movements that you saw in Malcolm X Park today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what is happening is that other people are taking advantage of our
mm-hmm.
disorganization.
That's
in order
right.
to push forth their own agendas.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Let's see. I would like to suggest when people
mm-hmm.
get time to check out our website, www.a-aprp-gc.org. On that website, there are a couple of documents I want to draw people's attention to. One is an open letter to the Chicago Sun-Times, written by
mm-hmm.
Brother Bob Brown, calling for a broadening of this dialogue around the struggle of the indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
And also, let's see, our part, the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC's, position paper on reparations and repatriation.
Oh yeah.
And
we definitely want to see that.
Right.
Yeah.
That is on our website. And we welcome any comments, questions, concerns, or criticisms regarding those documents.
Wow. So let me just say this before you continue, my brother. We will be doing, in a couple of weeks, you'll be getting the notice on Monday, I believe it is. We're doing a whole kind of two-day forum, and it's dealing with the issue of reparatory justice. It's called R4. And so I certainly will extend an invitation to you or someone from the organization to participate, present the paper, present the analysis, et cetera. So by all means, we definitely want to extend that to you now. So you can definitely, share that information. It'll be Zoom and I think Facebook Live. That's how it'll be covered.
Okay. Thanks for offering that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And also, there is a statement
mm-hmm.
On the George Floyd murder from our sister
mm-hmm.
party in Guinea, the PRPAG, the African Party for the Liberation and of Guinea.
Okay, great.
And that's our sister party in Guinea-Conakry. And that is also on our website.
Now, speaking of that, Brother Anthony, I don't know if you saw where various entities had made it a point, information out about Brother George Floyd, and did so, it was in a very degrading kind of way. They even, the article even said, you talk about all this stuff about George Floyd, but you won't show his mug shots. So they literally, and I'll send it to you if you haven't seen it, it's a whole article, and they took the time to find everything they could about him that might seem to be negative. And then, want to use that in a way as if that's some kind of justification as to why they killed him. You know what I'm saying? But it just shows you how just, these people have no kind of sense of doing anything under any kind of circumstances other than attempting to further destroy us. So I was just wondering if you had heard about any of that or seen it, that there were literally forces out there who were, trying to just, make his name, his history, and all of that into something else.
I do recall one presentation I saw by an African conservative, so-called conservatives disparaging. And
mm-hmm.
pulling all of the skeletons out of George Floyd's closet.
Right, right.
And the thing about it though, we have to be honest. Everybody has some skeletons in their closets, or some things that they might have did during the course of their life that they
mm-hmm.
might
mm-hmm.
they may regret later on. That does not in any way justify what happened to George
right.
Floyd
right.
and the police playing judge, jury, and executioner with our lives.
Absolutely. And I mean, the bottom line so what? Whatever he did, okay? The bottom line is, what's it got to do with you putting your knee on his neck?
That's exactly my point. And the thing about it, though, no human being deserves to be subject to that.
Yeah.
And and to bring it to tie it in to what I was talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
a lot of cities send their police to the Zionist State of Israel for training.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
one of the methods they use for subduing people is to put a knee on the person's neck.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So the thing
that's
about
one of the tactics.
Yes, it
that's
is. It's a
tactic.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Used
mm-hmm.
for subduing people. And
right.
that is why, you know, people here can be concerned about
mm-hmm.
what's happening to other people around the world.
Right.
Because the methods of political repression used in other parts of the world, such as various parts of Africa, Central and
right.
South America, and the Caribbean, and Asia, are used here.
Right. Right.
Mm, I mean these methods of torture and political repression don't come out of thin air.
Mm-hmm,
they have
mm-hmm.
a source,
mm-hmm.
and the oppressors of the world communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That is why it is so critical that we improve our level of organization.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating because we have not achieved that yet. We have
right.
to be better organized as a people. And
mm-hmm.
if we are better organized, then the scene you saw in Malcolm X Park today would not be occurring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Without our knowledge
well,
and without our
mm-hmm.
participation.
That's right. Well, we decided today that we are going to do a major event in that park. You know, sometime in the near future, we don't know exactly when, because who knows what's going to go on with Corona. But we have to start reclaiming some of our stuff and not just giving it up so easily. And so we are going to, you know, intentionally do a very good African kind of festival or something, arts or whatever, because we've got to make certain that our presence is continually known and that it's strong and so forth. So we decided today that, again, as soon as, you know, the opportunity allows, we're going to do something in that park, just as our people did years ago with ALD and other kinds of festivals. We're going to do something out there, too.
Mm-hmm. I think it should. And I think, you know, in the meantime, I think we need to use all the tools at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
To communicate and politically educate our people, and in terms of and concretely, that is the focus of the work of the All African People's Revolutionary Party (GC) today, is the organization and political education of the masses of our people.
All right,
and this is primarily
mm-hmm.
an ideological struggle. But
mm-hmm.
that the ideological struggle drives everything else. The way people think, you know, the struggle over ideas, the concepts and whatever, that
mm-hmm.
drives
mm-hmm.
everything else, including the political decisions that we make. So we think this area is very important. And I want to commend you for, you know, providing this program as an avenue to try to intensify that political struggle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, brother, as I had said earlier when we started tonight's program, we've got to analyze better what we're doing and really see how we can do better. If not more, at least better, because we have to. And so, you know, myself and of course, you know, APR, PGC. I mean, we've got to know that we are doing this work, and now we have to even intensify. I love what you just said about a campaign. See, that's what we're talking about. Keep this thing going. Keep things moving. You know, show that consistency. And I love that idea. And for those who don't know, October the 12th used to be known as, and for some it still is, Columbus Day. And that's why there's a focus to redirect, you know, the recognition of that day, okay? And so it's a strategic move along with a direct action move, whereby we begin to change the language that many are utilizing in recognition of that day. And so as some are going to say Columbus Day, others will be saying it's Indigenous Peoples Day, okay? And so, again, just a sidebar and a point of clarity as to, you know, why that's being done and so forth. Brother Anthony, give out the website again, please, so that folks will know where they can go to find you.
Sure. The website address is www.a-aprp-gc.org.
Okay, great. And before you go, and you mentioned something, I want to review that for one moment. Did you get a chance to read the the position paper that you talked about that the sisters put out on the murder of George Floyd? And if so, can you just brief us on that a little bit? And the other question is, will they be writing one about Breonna Taylor?
That I'm not sure of. That position paper was written by our sister organization. Let's see. PRPAG, which is the abbreviation of the French name for the political party, which I made a mistake on earlier, but it is on our website. And but whether they'll be coming out with a statement on Breonna Taylor's murder, I'm not sure, mainly because that has not received as wide amount of attention as George Floyd's murder.
Even though that, to me, there's more reason why we should be talking more about it, and particularly sisters.
Yeah, but let's see. The PIPAG is our sister party. In other words, it's a political party similar to ours. It's a Pan-Africanist party. And I think as more information about Breonna Taylor's case gets more widely circulated, there'll be other organizations talking about that as well, out in other parts of the diaspora and at home. But unfortunately, because of capitalism and sexism, it has not, gotten as much attention as
right,
it should.
Right.
There's some other useful information on the website as well.
Okay.
There's a history of our political party. There's some information regarding the history of the development of Pan-Africanism, which people might find of interest. And there's a discussion of the works of Kwame Nkrumah, Abed Sekou Touré, and Kwame Touré.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful.
And some people might find some stuff that they may agree or disagree with, that's fine. We're up for that dialogue. And we have to have a great degree of dialogue on these issues, you know.
So. Right. And in all reality, I mean, we're grown folks or should be by now, which means I don't believe anybody agrees with everything that anybody says or does, you know, and I wouldn't even advise that. So it should always be a capability to dialogue and to exchange views because, you know, we're not all going to see the same thing in the same way. I mean, it's ridiculous to even, you know, think that, oh, you know, you think a certain way, you got to think the way I think, I got to think. That's insane. I mean, I feel certain that we have grown, or, you know, at least some of us, have grown to the level now, a degree where, you know, we can do this. We can have different views, different approaches, as long as we understand clearly who and what the real enemy is.
Right. And I think there needs to be a greater understanding of our commonalities.
Yes, absolutely.
And the way we are similar. And also the way, you know, because our enemies can point out our differences.
Absolutely.
I think the biggest part of our work is pointing out our similarities, the
mm-hmm.
things that unite
mm-hmm.
us. And
okay.
it's more than just, and it's not just our phenotype or biological features I'm talking about. It is our culture and our ideological and class position in the world,
mm-hmm.
and I think that needs greater attention, and you know, which is why, we don't spend our time fighting other African organizations that are doing different things.
That's
right. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
You know, that's not constructive. And,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
where we have things in common, we work together. Where we diverge, we go our separate ways. But, I mean, we spend a lot of energy fighting each other. And, mm-hmm. you know, and the thing about it, though, that's probably by design. It's not accidental. You have various sects of our people,
mm-hmm.
you know, competing for crumbs from the capitalist table. So,
mm-hmm.
so, something we have to overcome. And I think we will. I think, there are signs that the consciousness of our people is rising.
Mm-hmm,
and I see that in the stance that certain entertainers and athletes took regarding what happened with Breonna Taylor and George
mm-hmm,
Floyd.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And because athletes and entertainers lead a fishbowl existence, everything they do is magnified. They tend to be real quiet on most political issues for the most part. And I see that starting to change.
Right, that's right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And,
well, that's
a good thing. Yeah.
Yes, no doubt about it. I think, you know, through all that's going on right now, there's definitely some pluses. And some of those pluses, I think, is that we were able to see a lot clearer and have a better comprehension of what's really going on. There's less ambiguity. There's less, I don't quite know. Yeah, you do know now. Some of this stuff, there's no getting around it. And I think, again, between Corona, the murders, and just things in general, I think it has given people that capability to just have a better understanding of something. Now, whether or not they deal with it in terms of really applying themselves to addressing it, that's a whole nother thing. But at least there's no way that folks don't have some kind of understanding about some of what's really going on today. It is right in our faces. And lastly, on that note, for us to be in a situation, or not us, but people, our people in general, to be forced if they want to deal with this so-called society from a political standpoint, to be forced to have to select from two people who are just totally, obviously, not in our best interests. Either way you go with it. I mean, to see that right before your eyes, and a lot of people do. I think, again, I agree with you, my brother, that the times right now is very important, and for me, it's very much on point.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And, what I think people are starting to understand increasingly is that the Democratic Party holds us in contempt. They have no respect with us.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Joe Biden wouldn't be their standard bearer.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
And the thing is, I think the move to select Kamala Harris as his running mate,
mm-hmm.
I think confuses the people even more, spreads confusion, because very often a lot of our people tend to get caught up in imagery and not the political history or the substance of the people they're voting for. What I'm driving at, it is not enough to tell people to get out to vote. There has to be a political education component that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm. Hold on one minute.
Voting is a tactic. And some people have elevated to a principle, which is not.
Okay.
And it's a tactic. And the thing about and any tactic, it has to be applied wisely.
That's right.
And I thank you for this opportunity, and I commend you for your for the work you're doing in the community, especially among our sisters. And the struggle continues and intensifies.
Yes, indeed. All right, my brother. Well, I thank you, and we're here. So whenever the organization has information that you want to share, certainly by all means, feel free to do so. Just let us know.
Thanks.
All right. Peace to you. All right,
thank
family.
You.
Again, we were just talking with our brother from Brother Anthony from the AAPRP GC, and of course, Africa on the Move comes on Sunday with our brother Lee. Brother Africa is on, of course, on Sundays from 7 to 9 p.m. And today, of course, they did their session known as Missing Pages of History. Okay. All right, we're going to now get ready to check in to see if our brother was ready to come on yet. I'm not seeing him yet, so we're going to give him a few more minutes. I'm talking about Brother Captain. In the meantime, I forgot to ask Brother Anthony about Winnie Mandela. I just want to mention to everyone that today, of course, we are commemorating the legacy of who we call Queen Mother Winnie Mandela. Let me go back to Brother Anthony for 1 minute. I just want to ask him some thoughts about, Queen Mother Winnie Mandela. I know, of course, there was a relationship with her. Brother Anthony, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, you heard me mention, of course, that today is the commemoration of Queen Mother Winnie Mandela. We're calling it Queen Mother Winnie Mandela Day. And with that, we are getting ready to launch one of our new projects that's called the Mandela. And I just want you to share, some of your thoughts about this powerful woman, that, you know, of course, is now an ancestor, but, you know, we're going to do everything we can to keep some parts of her legacy alive. What are your thoughts about her?
Yes. She made tremendous sacrifices, you know, to the struggle for African liberation, not just in the Zone of South Africa, but worldwide.
That's
by,
right.
You know, standing by her husband, Nelson Mandela, all of those years he was imprisoned on Robben Island. In occupied Zania, and her fight, you know, to secure her husband's release, and also her struggle to bring about the liberation of that part of Africa, will go down in the annals of history. That work, as we see now, is incomplete, but she did make a valuable contribution, and you know, and added to the legacy of countless African women that have made contributions to our struggle against imperialism, capitalism, and all other forms of exploitation over the centuries. And I think it's appropriate that you chose to highlight her work on her on the occasion of her birthday. Let's see. You know, she stood by, but her political stances were too much for the ruling bourgeois forces in in occupied Zania, which is what led to Nelson divorcing Winnie Mandela. Because I mean, looking at the direction in which she was moving, possibly Nelson Mandela would not have gained the presidency of South Africa had they tried to stay together. So it was a political manipulation on the part of enemy forces. And I think, right now, South Africa is in the throes of settler colonialism and neocolonialism. It is not yet free. And that's something, I want to convey to your audience. That even though South Africa has its own flag now, they're under neocolonial domination, like the majority of Africans throughout the world are. I think we must draw inspiration from the lessons that Winnie Mandela left us in terms of her persistence. And her continuing to struggle, even after the split from Nelson, and the struggle is lifelong. I think that's one of the other critical lessons we can draw from her life and work. I think that's something that people need to keep in mind, that the struggle is for life, and that that if you're committed to the liberation of our people, there are all kinds of twists and turns, and that even changes in the relationships can't get in the way of that work. And so I hope that that, you know, that that assist us especially draw inspiration from knowing about, you know, her life and struggle.
All right. One last question, my brother, and I'm going to let you go. What are your thoughts about the Economic Freedom Party?
The Economic Freedom Party. I don't know any. I can't speak to that because I don't know about the Economic Freedom Party. I haven't heard of them until you brought it up just now. So
okay,
I really,
well,
I don't know
that,
what that political line is and what have
you. That's the group that's in South Africa that seems to be pretty popular now. But, you know, we're going to be talking more about that in the near future. I was asking Brother Obi about it, and he's been sending me information. But one day in the very near future, we're going to really examine that and a few other things, you know, to a greater extent, because we want to make sure that our family has, you know, some insight into what's going on the international level.
Certainly. Now, is this a new party, to your knowledge, by any chance, or have they been around for a while?
No, I think just commemorated their four-year. I mean, it is new, you know, in comparison, yeah. But they have been pretty active and pretty vocal, particularly lately. There was this real ad, this campaign that one of the companies that do hair or something was putting out there, and they were doing these commercials or ads that showed black women, and it said, you know, your hair, if it looks like this, you want your hair to look like this, you know, or something like that. And so there was a campaign to boycott, you know, that particular company and the group, the Economic Freedom Party. They were, you know, involved in that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thanks for raising that that question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I learned something new tonight.
I
was not familiar with the organization or the political work. So.
Yep. So, you know, but we're definitely going to visit that again because, again, I want to do like a kind of a whole session on an international perspective. We're going to review things that's going on in Zimbabwe, of course, in Cuba, in Venezuela, and Azania, because, you know, as you mentioned earlier, it's really important that we build our ties with, you know, with the various countries that do understand some of what we're experiencing here. Of course, they are experiencing it there, and we need to strengthen those ties to develop greater allyships. And so, you know, again, we're going to do a couple of programs that's going to focus on that.
Certainly. And if possible, I look forward to checking those out. We definitely need to do that because one of the things you learn in the course of this struggle is that our people, regardless of where they're located in the world or what language they speak, there is amazing. And I think Garvey discovered this when he traveled and created the UNIA ACL back in 1914 in Jamaica. That our people, regardless of religion, language, or what names they're referred to, face a common set of problems. So we got to work together to come up with with common solutions. And in order to that, and in order to do that, we must unify and find
That's
ways
right.
of overcoming these various barriers, most of which were created by our enemies.
That's right.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You're so welcome, my brother. You're so welcome, and thank you. All right, family, moving right along. We were trying to wait for our brother to call in, Brother Captain, and unfortunately he hasn't done so yet, so we might have to put our conversation on hold with him for tonight. We're going to give him a few more minutes. As I said, we're going to do, we're not going to do a full 2 hours tonight because I have to get on the road. I'm at the train station right now and have to get back to Philly. And so I'm going to have to cut our dialogue a little short for tonight. At any rate, one of the things we want to share with everyone is a couple of things. Of course, MWM, the 23-year anniversary is coming. And we are now moving into what we call the next phase of our development as it pertains to, from an organizational standpoint. Some, I don't know why, still think that we were only an event or just, you know, a one day or whatever kind of thing. Well, we're going to now make it real clear that that's far from what we are, and that we've worked diligently over these years to make certain that we would be able to bring this movement forward. As Brother Anthony mentioned, you know, we do a lot of work that is geared primarily to our women. However, be real clear that a large part of our work is also committed to the justice and liberation of our people as a whole. And so we want to make sure that people are really able to understand that how we operate is, in a very holistic manner. And while our specialty is our women and girls, the reality is that we are the mothers and the daughters and the sisters of the movements, okay? And with that, every aspect that affects our people, we're going to be in it. We have been in it. And we're going to be in it even more so now. And so we're talking about political prisoners. We're talking about prison industrialized complex, COINTELPRO, environmental racism, the inferior education. All of those things are not only the issues that we deal with in regards to our people, our families, and communities, but, you know, again, you're going to now see the types of action plans that goes with every area of interest or concern, okay? And again, it's not to say that that's the all in all or, you know, it's this. No, but it certainly is a help. I can guarantee you that because we've worked hard to make certain that it will be. And in some instances, it already has been. And so we're going to bring that movement forward now. And as such, we are, you know, going to make certain that people understand and overstand, as they say, that MWM is certainly gone now from march to movements. And guess what? We got another we're getting ready to put in there as well. So y'all stay tuned for that. Again, we're coming up into our 23-year anniversary. Starting in October, we have a Million Black Women Rising conference/summit that's coming. I'm going to tell you more about that later this week. We also, as I mentioned with Brother Anthony, have a reparatory justice summit coming, okay? And that will be at the end of October. The end of the last week in October is when that's going to happen. Again, we're now putting all the pieces in place for that. It appears that we're going to have the Honorable Julius Garvey joining us for that. We've also invited members from NCOBRA, as well as a few of the other organizations that talks about reparations or reparatory justice. A couple of the sessions are going to deal with history, the historical information of reparatory justice or reparation. So we'll be talking to folks from the Cali House Center to talk about the work of Cali House. We'll be talking to Dr. Robert Block's wife, Mother Mickey, who, of course, is going to talk about the work of Dr. Robert Block, and others. Again, from a historical perspective, we're going to be bringing you information so that as we move forward in dealing with the issues of reparatory justice, we'll be able to do it from a premise of understanding what those that have come before us have already done. And I definitely cannot leave out Queen Mother Moore, okay, who was also an advisor to Malcolm X. And we're going to talk about another advisor of Malcolm X, El Hashemik El Shabazz, which was Dr. Yusef Klee, okay? And so connecting all of those pieces, making certain that people have the information and the history that brought us to where we are now. That's one of the things that I kind of get annoyed about with certain things, and that is people want to talk about it as if, oh, it just kind of happened. No, you better know and understand who helped make this happen. Because other than that, we're not only being dishonest, we're being dishonorable. And we cannot do that. And so MWM will not do that. So, again, the preliminary sessions or the first sessions for our Reparatory Justice Summit is going to focus on history, giving our people some history of what we call now today reparations, some of the work that went into that. Oh, by the way, and we'll have a representative from the Honorable Salas Muhammad joining us as well. That's the Lost Found Nation of Islam. For those who might not be familiar with them, they will be on our program, on our summit as well. Okay. So again, family, we want to make sure that we bring you the kinds of tools that you're going to need, that we all need, to now make the proper decisions and take the proper actions. That's really important, because without action, in this day and age, it really comes down to almost nothing, or at least not to the degree that it needs to be in this day and age. And again, as we often heard Baba Kwame say, Baba Kwame Ture, he would say, we must not fail our ancestors. Well, we must not fail our ancestors. We also must not fail our youth, and we've got to stop disrespecting ourselves, because if we're not doing the work already been laid down for us, the doors have already been opened, the paths have already been paved, if we're not helping to continue that work, then you're disrespecting yourself, okay? So at any rate, family, we're going to move forward. I'm not seeing our brother call in, and that's okay, because, you know, things happen, people have other things that come up, and it's all right, but we will be bringing him back very, very soon. Going back to Brother Anthony's question, see, the brother was going to bring us information about there's a sister who is running for president. Now, of course, you know that's not, you know, something that is realistic, for real, which is not the point. The point is the sister is serious. She's running a serious campaign. It is an independent campaign. And, of course, most haven't heard about it, but, you know, that would be expected, okay, because she's not representing the Democratic or the Republican Party. And it is a sister who has a family, is a sister who is intelligent. She's business-minded. And we were trying to get her on for tonight, but scheduling did not allow us. So I was going to have the brother who turned me on to it, because he went to an event yesterday where she was, doing her, you know, campaigning, right? I never heard anything about it either until Brother Captain brought it to my attention. And this was yesterday. So, again, unfortunately, scheduling would not allow her to come on for tonight. But we promise you we're going to get her on as soon as we can, because we want you to hear her. And guess what? A lot of folks ain't going to be voting anyway this time around. A lot of people say they ain't going to deal with it. Well, guess what? Vote for her. I mean, just, you know, make a statement. Her name is Jade Simmons. Jade Simmons. And she is on Instagram. And I haven't looked to see if she had a website yet, but, you know, check it out. She might have a website, but I know she's on Instagram because they sent that information to me. And again, family, as soon as, we can, we're going to bring her on, because I want you to hear her platform. I want you to hear her. Very intelligent, you know, so forth. Therefore, you know, hopefully, oops, hold on. Okay, seems like your brother is on the line, so wait a minute. I'm going to let him tell you about what he experienced. We do have a few more minutes before I have to get out of here. Brother, I need you to press 1 because I'm not finding you in queue. So if you hear me, then we need to press 1 because I am not seeing you in queue. Oh, now I see you. Okay, cool. All right, good, thanks. Okay, so we are going to bring the other captain in. And again, we're not going to have as much time as we have wanted. So since Brother Anthony asked about the sister who's running for president, I'm going to have Brother Captain to share with you what he was able to experience with her yesterday. And then hopefully we'll have a few more minutes for him to share a little bit about how he was able to overcome some of his health issues. Brother Captain, we got you here.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, greetings, Empress. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, we happy to have
yes.
you.
Happy to be here.
So one of our brothers, he was excited. He was like, okay, I didn't know a black woman was running. And I told him, me either. Until yesterday or the day before, I heard nothing about that.
Yeah, yeah, that was my reaction exactly. And it was funny because me and Jade Simmons joked about that. And since she's been on her Operation Restoration campaign tour throughout the country.
Wow.
You know, of course, I mean, and she's in our communities, and that's the 100% of the time a lot of people have been coming up to her saying that. So we really had a good laugh about that.
Wow. And her campaign, I love that, Restoration. All right.
Yep.
So share with our family, because, again, we talked about it last night, but, of course, you know, we have a different listening audience tonight. So share with us again what you experienced yesterday when you went to one of her campaign rallies.
Okay. And, you know, peace, salute to everybody on here, you know, peace and blessings.
Yeah.
Yesterday was, it really was great. I've been around and dealt with a lot of politicians, and I can truly say, I know it sounds cliche, but this woman really was genuine, you know. She really
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she went over her time. I mean, for her to, you know, come to North Philly, and, I mean, she made
mm-hmm.
it her business to talk to every youth, and she really made it about them, you know, and she allowed
mm-hmm.
them to ask her whatever questions they wanted. And she
mm-hmm.
and they asked her questions about business. She's a musician, so they asked her about that. You know, our kids love the music. She
mm-hmm.
asked them to perform. So she listened to them sing, rap. She encouraged them. I mean, it was great. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I kept saying it was a historical moment.
Wow.
And that's why I wanted to make sure I told her. I said, listen, when I first heard her, I said, I didn't know. I said, I came to be part of history, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What you're
mm-hmm.
doing is a courageous act. You know, especially,
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
we had real talk. And, she, you know, of course, the media not going to support her. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like I told her, the media don't exist. You know, you already won. And her vice president is a black woman.
Okay.
So I said, for you to really fund your own campaign, you've been on tour since January. You know,
mm-hmm.
reaching out,
wow.
coming to communities, I mean, you've been in Nebraska just trying to get your name out there. That takes...
Right.
real heart and soul to put that time and energy
right.
in doing that.
Right. And tell our family her name and where she's from.
Jade Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
She's from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Her Instagram is Operation Restoration 20. And also Official Jade Simmons.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Family, go check it out. Go check it out. And again, we're going to work on getting her on our program as soon as possible because we want to, you know, really hear her voice and hear about her platform and so forth. I think it would be an incredible thing if black folks voted for her. I mean, you know, we know the thing is already, the jig is in, it's rigged. You know that. On them national levels, you know, we can do stuff and make a difference in our communities, but on that national level, stop playing.
Absolutely.
Okay, stop playing.
That's right.
But anyway, so definitely, you know, go to Instagram and check her out, family. And again, as soon as we can, we're going to get her on our program and talk with her directly. Moving right along, so I only have about 5-10 minutes left. I wanted our brother to share with you all about his experience in dealing with health issues and how he was able to overcome it. And I want to share that with you all because all of us, most of us, you know, at some point have some kind of issue dealing with health. Okay, I mean, being in this environment, how most of us were raised with food or what they call food and various other things, stress, this and that, 9 out of 10, we are all going to experience some kind of health malady. Well, that's okay. At least sometimes it is, because sometimes you really can do something about it. All right. So this brother, when he shared his story with me, I was like, more people got to hear that, because sometimes people lose hope. And sometimes, you know, you just need to hear that somebody else did conquer a situation. So, Brother Captain, you got it.
Yes. You're right about that, Empress. Well, I had this saying I always used to say, everybody that knew me, is I said I had the Luther syndrome. You know, like Luther Vandross, because I would go up and down. You know, I've been relatively a husky big guy all my life. Now, 2012, I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. You know, for those not familiar with that, I went to the sleep center, slept, they studied me, and they said every hour my heart, I'll never forget, it stopped beating almost 300 times. Okay. Yeah. So that was every hour. So, you know, I had to sleep with the machine. You know, that's the Reggie White disease, they call it. That's how Reggie White died from the Eagles. You know, and I remember the doctor saying in my face, they said, it's men your size every night in this country dying in their sleep, you know, next to their women. You know, just, you know, they really try to scare you. You know what I mean? So, and they said they find men dying in their sleep with their machines next to them. They're not even using their machines because they don't want to use it. So from that point, I slept with the machine every night. Now, that was 2012. Fast forward to 2018, 6 years later, you know, during that 6 years, just working so much. You know, I was one of those guys who, when the sun came up, you know, I was out working. And when the sun came down, I was out still working. So obviously that takes a toll while you're working. You're picking up things, pizzas and all that. I was up to 400 pounds. That was literally the biggest I've been in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was complete, I had some financial issues, work stopped, business stopped. So I said, you know what, this is a deeper meaning. What is this, not why me, what is this trying to tell me? So I go to my regular appointment. It was July 16th, I'll never forget. And they said, now you're diagnosed hypertensive. And I said, you know what, I know better. I knew this information, but I got these baby habits. You know what I mean? Like, and they said, now we're going to put you on high blood pressure medicine. I said, because I knew what those synthetic does. So I left the hospital, and for the next 3 days, I fasted, because the brother here, Dr. Africa, he changed the way I ate breakfast forever. And I listened to him how to get your blood pressure down and the importance of fasting. And after 72 hours of fasting, your body goes into autophagy mode. And it really begins to clean all the trash and toxins out your body. So I really just shocked my system. I never fasted in my life. The third day, once I hit the third day, I remember waking up and the room was spinning like swirls. I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, I was drinking a lot of water every day. So, you know, I went to the produce junction, and I got a bunch of fruits and green vegetables. I said, I'm going to eat that. And I would go to the track and just walk and begin to put my plan together. I had a follow-up appointment 30 days later. When I went, I lost 35 pounds. My doctor had been practicing medicine for 20-something years, and she said that I've never seen this much weight loss within a month. And she said, we would have had to put you on there. You know, I said, I'm not taking no script or nothing. And she said, well, keep doing what you're doing. And that was July 16, 2018. And I became vegan by default. I watched a lot of documentaries. I stayed up all night. I talked to the right people. I sat down and really focused on that and on how I was going to make this lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle change. And here I am 2 years later, in a few months, and I've lost 100 pounds. My blood pressure is perfect. I'm still on my journey, but I feel better than ever. I cured my sleep apnea also. You know, I sleep great. You know, I was one of those big guys who my family, you know what I mean, would say, it sounded like you chopping trees. You know, it sounded like a chainsaw. That's how loud I was snoring. And I sleep like a baby every night. I'm sleeping great. I'm sleeping so peaceful. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. It is that I fell asleep driving before and had an accident. Yeah. I was really caught up in that, you know, work, gotta go, gotta get this, and you know, just bring myself down.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know,
right,
so and my family,
right,
they would be concerned. I would be falling asleep behind the wheel.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I would be falling. But you gotta think, I'm working 16, 17, 18 hours a day, come sit and say I'm talking to you, and next thing you know, I'm falling asleep.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, then I smoked too. So I couldn't smoke when I had that in it. You see what I'm saying? So So and like I said, I knew better. When you know better, you do better. So I had to check myself to say, well, you know what, this is hypocritical. If I noticed information, but I'm not disciplining myself to change these baby habits from eating pizza, Philly cheesesteaks, and smoking, knowing that black men lead colon cancer. I mean, we just lost Chad Bozeman, you know.
Right.
Knowing
right.
Us black men lead all negative health charts, and what they'll do if I go in there. So I'm not going to help them. You know what I mean? So I had to make health a focal point in my life than everything.
That's
that means
right.
I make less money, then so be it, because I'm my best asset.
That's right.
So I feel better than ever. I'm able to, I'm better organized. I can manage better. My relationships is better. I feel great. And that's why I'm very passionate about this.
All right. Well, see, family, we can do these things. And so again, for 2021, we're going to make it a real effort and point to do something better for our health, for our family, but for you, for yourself, because then you can do, you know, what you need to do for your family, for your community, okay? So, again, we're putting you all on notice now. Come January, we're going to be very much on point or more on point with the health issues that we need to start dealing with and start looking at training. This is what Brother Captain and I talked about earlier, and that is for folks who are interested in learning how to provide some of the services that we need in our community. We need to stop running to these other people. We need to create our own everything, and that means health practitioners in whatever way we possibly can. Some of this stuff we can do ourselves. And we need
Absolutely.
To. So, again, that's what's coming. All right, my brother. Well, I thank you again for sharing that information with us. Family, we're going to get ready to close this session out because I've got to leave. I'm at the train station now, and it's getting ready for that time for me to pull out. But I want to thank all of you for tuning into this segment of New Day. I thank Brother Captain for joining us, and, of course, Brother Anthony and all of you. And we are now going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you. And as you know, we say in that spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, please, y'all, remember, because it's true, if there is no real peace, no Hotep, there certainly ain't going to be no justice. No one's going to make Ma'at come through. Therefore, if there's no justice, what we say, my brother?
There's no justice, there's no peace.
That's right. You better believe it. And so until next time, family, we say we love you. We appreciate you all. We give you all the inspiration that we can for you to continue to do what you're doing and then some. And we'll talk black at you next week. All right, my brother.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a blessed one. Peace to you
Have
all,
a blessed
family.
Night, please, everybody.
All right. Peace out.